the Lee Harden Podcast. He likes too many things. It's the Lee Harden Podcast. He likes too many things. He likes too many, likes too many things. Too many things.
All right, welcome everybody to Hardhead, Lee Harden Podcast. Hey guys, that song is true. I do like too many things. Speaking of that song, go check out the band, Hello Kelly, and the other band that same guy's a part of, Francie and the First Time Feeling. Both are fronted by Francois Goudreau, my Canadian brother. He's amazing. Again, guys, it's on all music platforms. Francie and the First Time Feeling, Hello Kelly. He's the guy who sang on that theme song. Please go check him out. To the front of me, to the front right, technically, diagonal, well.
You're 2 o'clock.
My 2 o'clock.
You're 2 o'clock.
My 2 o'clock. I'm his 6 o'clock.
Maybe 1:30.
Maybe 1:30. We got Crabtree, responsible human being.
What's up, guys?
Father of three.
Yes.
Three. Okay, we had to think about that.
Three and a fur baby.
Okay, three and a fur baby. Yep. I didn't know you had a pup. What kind of pup you got?
I have a miniature Aussie doodle.
Oh, okay. That sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Okay. Forgot to mention husband in there. He's all of those things. And, you know, it's funny. That intro, I'm heavily influenced by the Pat McAfee show. That's okay. He's now on ESPN, but he was a punter for the Colts and then became his own personality on YouTube. He had his own sports show. Just took off. He's very unique, very positive, very fun, but the way he introduces a lot of people is that same way. So it's ingrained in my brain now. I'm like, you know, flattery imitation's this most sincere form of flattery.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right.
Sorry, Pat McAfee. I do not mean to rip you off, but I just love the way you introduce people. But
and listener, I wish you could see how animated Lee is this evening. He's very talking with his hands. If you strapped his hands to the chair, he probably wouldn't be able to say a word.
Not one bit. But yeah, I'm gonna try to get heavier with the sounds. Maybe you can hear a whoosh, like when you swung that kid toy, that ninja toy.
It's good to see the enthusiasm across the table.
Yes. Well, when you don't have the flu, that helps. man, that flu just kicks your butt. The only time I've ever been that sick was when I had like a sinus infection when I got back from the Dominican Republic with. When I was working with Vanderbilt's baseball team, I was documenting the trip, come back, just started sneezing on the plane, get home, the fatigue hits you, and then suddenly the next day, just you're sneezing, coughing, just fever. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I've been that sick. And I've had COVID, but COVID was like, oh, I have it? Didn't even know I had it. And
If I get like the flu or a sinus infection or something like that, I'm usually okay until I can't breathe through my nose.
Yep.
And after that, it's terrible. My sleep goes down the drain, and it's just awful.
It affects your mood for sure.
Yeah,
but trying to get the enthusiasm back, and it's been fun. Let's see, mid-Feb, like shows were going good as far as stand-up comedy, the theater gigs that I've been doing for about a little over a year now, they were going really good. And then mid-February, it became a struggle. I don't know what happened with promotion or whatever. Just the attendance was dropping here and there, and it just it was taking some swings at my soul. The ebb and flow. And then I guess when you get to a certain amount of like a rhythm of success, and then when it goes the opposite, it starts messing with you, and it can mess with your identity. It can mess with all of those things, and you got to realize, okay, your identity shouldn't be wrapped up in it, even though this is what you're doing with a lot of your headspace and a lot of your time. Mm. But you can definitely let that rule you, and the same way success can rule you too. Like you've seen people change when they get really successful. Mm-hmm. So not that I'm really successful, I'm just staying working. And the reason ticket sales are so important to me sometimes, if tickets aren't selling good, I've lost money, either on ads or...
The people that get really popular forget their roots sometimes.
Because what do they say about success? It's like, if you, win the lottery or get crazy famous, it just amplifies your real persona. I've heard that. Like, it amplifies which I don't know if I agree with that, because whenever you're in a bad mood or you have a bad day, someone's like, oh, they showed their true colors.
Yeah, that's and like, rough.
Maybe they were just having a bad day. Right. Like, they only say it when you're being a jerk or when you're like, when you snap at somebody.
He showed us the real jerk he really is.
Yeah. I knew it. It took 10 years, but I saw his true colors right. after all that. But, yeah, and it, you know, these obstacles have given me a lot to think about, and my favorite expression is adversity can either develop, destroy, or define you.
Yeah.
I like that. That came from Coach Dabo Swinney, head coach of Clemson football. I'm a big fan of those guys. But that's something I've heard him say for several years now. I love that. And it's one thing to hear it, much like a sermon or something you read from Scripture, something mm-hmm. you want to apply. All right, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. When it comes time to apply it, how does that work when you actually want to apply it? Mm-hmm. When you pray for patience or something like that, and you get a chance to practice it, and you're like, well, no, I didn't really want to practice it. I just wanted to sound
right.
good and say I'm praying for this when I didn't really want to yeah. use the thing I'm praying for and that's hoping for.
That's so. The thing with – that's why it's such a struggle for me as and you and I have talked briefly about anxiety and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
How for me, I always reflect on how I could have handled the situation differently.
You analyze it like game film. Like game film the next day, it's playing in your head. Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I could have handled that so differently. I could have been more faith-based in that and really focused on scripture and whatnot. But now here lately, I just feel like I've just been doing the opposite of that.
That's okay. We're humans. Like,
yeah.
That's what we're going to do. Like, someone crosses you, you feel there's an instinct to right the wrong. Mm. And so that's going to be in there too.
We want immediate justice.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes you're not going to get the apology you feel like you deserve from a few years ago from some people. Mm. And I'm happy to say in that regards, I had someone actually reach out to me a few weeks ago. It was someone I thought I was never going to be friends with ever again. Mm. We just, you know. Long story short, we just parted ways, and I was like, okay, I just got to move on, and you know, and it was a bummer because they were one of my favorite people ever. Mm-hmm. Trust them with anything, and then yeah, recently just they reached out back out, and there was like, sorry, things went this way. I feel embarrassed and all this stuff, and I'm like, no, you're fine. And they were asking for forgiveness. I'm like, you are totally fine. Yeah. And I reiterated, hey, I love you to death. You were one of my favorite people. What's next week look like? And
yeah.
Caught back up. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, now we're back to communicating, sending each other memes that only we can send to each other. You have those friends, right? You're like, I can trust them with my inappropriate humor here. They know they know what they know. I don't mean anything by this.
Yeah. The heavyweight on people's minds. You never know how you affect someone when you in your daily life.
Yes, even the smallest amount, the decisions, the eye contact, the saying hello to somebody mm-hmm. at your job, asking how someone's doing. Hey, you doing good? A bit of encouragement goes a long way.
Yeah.
So
speaking of heavyweight, what thought made me think of that? There's another podcast by Jonathan Goldstein
uh-huh.
called Heavyweight, and it's just that very thing. It's people who had interactions in their past with people who are now out of their lives that go find these people and talk it out with them or not.
Okay.
It's really good. There's one particular episode, I think it's called John.
Mm-hmm.
That's really powerful. It's about this guy that left the clergy after a incident at a hospital. So
okay.
I won't spoil that story, but it's a really interesting story to listen to.
That is cool. Yeah. Reconciliation, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It can make you cry in all the good ways. And I didn't cry with this one, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, I don't cry. That's not a manly thing. Just, I will get sad. Just tears aren't coming out.
What's wrong with crying, Lee?
Nothing's wrong with crying. Tears don't come out that all. I feel like I cried enough as a kid. I think it got all out. So I was a crier, man. I was a crier.
Have you watched the movie Marley and Me?
No, because I already know the dog dies, so why, like, there's no way the dog's not going to die when you see the trailer. You're like, well, no, this is going to go. Much like that movie. Well, it's not. It's about a robot, but Chappie. There was a movie called Chappie about this lovable robot, and I'm like, well, I already could tell by the trailer. I'm like, he ain't lasting. He's gonna die, and he's gonna turn off like a computer does, and it's gonna sound sad, and it's gonna be my friend. I'm like, I don't want to see that. I'll get attached to the robot. I'm good. So I want to see the bad guy.
Disney
die.
Pixar Up. You've seen
that? Oh yeah, Up. Yeah, first 10 minutes. Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, I was super sad, but I wasn't like boom crying because it was also fake. So, you know.
Because it's animated.
Yeah. It's what I'm not horrible about. I'm not the worst with that when it comes to that being cynical. I was watching Toy Story 3. Gosh, that was like 10 years. No, that was in 2010. Toy Story 3.
That's the one with the strawberry smelling.
Well, it was the prospector. It was the
The purple one.
That was 2. 3. I just remember that they were meeting that girl. The toys went to the new girl, the young girl. They were all. Andy was about to go to college on that one.
Yeah.
But this new adorable girl was getting the toys, but Woody was lost in that room, and he's like, "I need to get out of here." And they go, "There is no way out." Just kidding. The door's right over there. That scene, which I love, that part was so funny because you're like, "Oh, not this plot again." But they were like lost in a toy bin or something like that. They were, you know, Andy was trying to get them back, I think, or find them. Then he saw how much these toys meant to that little girl. Mm-hmm. And there was this little he was just like looking at Woody. And he's like, you know, Woody will never let you down. Yeah. That little moment. And then this girl behind me, like, she was like, it's a toy.
Oh.
I was like, I lost it. I was like, that. She's like, it's an action figure.
Yeah, that's good.
That made me so happy.
Keep a sense of perspective here, people.
Right. Like, you made me cry over a toy.
Yeah.
That's walking and talking. There's something demonic about that. Mm. No, I'm kidding. There's not. Man,
which Toy Story was it with the pink teddy bear?
Pink teddy bear? Well, the carnival?
Maybe that was 4.
The carnival?
Where all the toys were taken to like a daycare?
Forky? Forky's in 4.
Maybe that's Forky.
Yeah.
Okay.
She creates a toy named Forky.
No, it's not Forky.
Okay.
Whatever. Purple bear. I'm not going to spend
that's okay.
Time
I mean, it could be 3. The number 2 was with Kelsey Grammer as the prospector, and Woody finds out how famous he really was. He meets his other toys. Mm-hmm. He meets the girl that, what is her name?
Jesse.
Yeah, played by Joan Cusack. Mm-hmm. Might have been 3. There might have been a purple bear. We need to get to the bottom of this.
Goodness gracious.
The listeners of the podcast really want to know, and they probably already searched it up with their phones, but we're going to pretend a few of these are Amish people or something like that. So Ricky's looking on that. Ricky, while you're looking for that, you want to hear how the shows went this weekend?
Of course.
Okay. Like I said, since, you know, I don't want to be too open about this, but here we are. The shows have been kind of a fight the last few shows, just because if it's a decent sized room and it's a quarter full, you're just going, okay, what happened? Last week I had a full room, and then it just show after show, it's like that. And you're like, okay, is this just not working anymore? What happened? All that can wear on you, and it makes you not want to perform. You're just like, I don't want to be up here. That's where I was. I'm like.
This was in February.
Starting in February. Yeah. It's been going. But again, you have those choices when you're facing challenges, and you can let your brain explore the worst of the worst, that things that aren't happened. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about that with that propaganda video about being in the moment, being afraid of the bombs that haven't happened yet. Mm-hmm. That's where I was. I'm like, this is where it's going. Mm-hmm. And but you can't live like that. It's just going to get worse. And
How'd you pull yourself out of it?
Staying steady. I mean, it sounds cliche, but like just being disciplined, just going, all right, this will work out. Mm-hmm. Like having a healthy perspective of there's worse things in the world. This is stand-up comedy. I love it, but there's worse things in the world.
Maybe you got some better sleep. Maybe you had some extra fiber in your diet.
Possibly. Pooping more, you know. Right. Need more poop, guys. More poop will solve a lot. I can't tell you how
satisfying it is to have a good poop.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, puts you in a good mood. Pants fit better.
Right. Want to take a nap afterward?
Yep. You've accomplished something right. after a good poop. But right. yeah, you just and again, you know, my faith is important to me. I'm not perfect. It's a fight every day sometimes, but trying to be grounded with some sort of foundation there, realizing what's the most important thing. If you do claim to be a Christian and believe in God, realizing what the important things are compared to the things that are going to fade. Mm-hmm. You know, I know. Again, if you're not a Christian, if you are the one listener of this podcast, and you know this isn't your deal, so Scripture does talk about not loving the things in the world, not loving things in the world, things that shine and fade and lust of the eyes, and all these things that we think are really important eventually do fade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, realizing what's the most important thing is if we do believe what we believe there's a creator of the universe that loves us, you know.
Loves us so much he wants our undivided attention.
Right. And we don't realize how much love there is from his side. And how crazy it is that if we do believe what we believe that we get to spend time with God. You know, not because we can blow over that and take that for granted for sure. But when you listen to guys like Francis Chan, he really puts a good, healthy perspective on that. Like, do you realize what we get to do? And so trying to take into effect that, and then just realizing a lot of problems we worry about, we're not going to be worried about them 5 years from now. So, and realizing you have a cool opportunity in your everyday life to impact somebody's life.
How Paul puts it, what we deal with are momentary light afflictions.
Absolutely. That's why you're a deacon. All right. Yeah. Oh, I forget. That needs to be part of the intro now. Now a deacon. So church deacon. That's a
big... I actually missed the deacon's meeting on Sunday night.
Well, never mind. Ricky is out of the deacon. That's okay. I don't know how many you're allowed to miss. I don't know if it's like college. You get three absences and then you're gone. But yeah, so, you know, just looking out. You know, okay, because you can doubt your abilities and all these things, but you look back going, no, if I was terrible at this, I wouldn't have gotten this far. I mean,
yeah, there you go. Have you stopped canceling shows at least?
I would love to not cancel shows ever, but right. when they're like, hey, this is the ticket count and the show's next week, no, we're not doing that. Right. You know, the flu got in the way of one of them, and which we're going to reschedule that one. One of the shows in Nevada, Vegas. We're working on November. So, that'll be cool. But, yeah, just realizing the responsibility you have with the hard work you put into this life of trying to tell jokes. And, again, there's more important jobs out there. But realizing the work you put into it, going, all right, these people bought a ticket. No matter how many of them are there, they still bought a ticket. You need to be grateful that those people are here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the things you can't control. You know, like what you can control is how you respond.
I tell my kids that all the time. That you will not be able to control how people treat you, but you can always control how you respond to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one like, you know, and back to, again, Francis Chan, sorry. But being in control of things, of all things, gives you a certain amount of peace, you know? When you're in control of, like, I know how this is going to work out, I know this, for me, I'm like, I know how the ticket sales are going to go. Mm-hmm. All right, all is good. I've done this, you know? And when that goes away, your peace can go away. So that's another thing I've had to learn too. So all that to say is, wow, Louisiana shows this weekend were fun. I've been to Louisiana. I forget what part of the town to do comedy, but it was in the back of a restaurant, and people that knew we had the show there, they had a fun time. I remember that.
Is this closer to the coast or more north?
That part I could not tell you. This was maybe 2-3 years ago, maybe two. But this time around, it was theater gigs, one in New Iberia, Louisiana. Never heard of that place until they got back to me via email. And then the next night was in Mandeville, Louisiana, which is closer to New Orleans. And that was fun. Those people are really nice. The people that were – it wasn't a packed room, but it wasn't an empty room either. So, but we had fun. And New Iberia, they have a theater called IPAL, the Iberia Performing Arts League Theater. That was fun because the staff that ran it is volunteer, and all were pretty young. A lot of volunteers for these community theaters are usually older. Mm-hmm. These were like guys in their 20s, early 30s. They had been doing shows at this theater since they were kids.
Appreciate the fine arts.
Yep. It means a lot to them. They want to keep it open. I was their first comedy show, or me and Josh Watts was their first comedy
show. Awesome.
So, again, yeah, it was cool. Really nice people. They were super easy to work with. And, yeah, we sold some tickets, and people really enjoyed it. And they were telling my contact right away, like, hey, we need to have this back. This was really cool. And when you can make the shows about them, that's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did with the next night as well in Mandeville. Smaller room, which was really cool. It wasn't as hard to fill up. And they did a good job at promoting. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. Again, nice staff, volunteer staff, and they were really appreciative that we came through. And both shows were fun. I got to have some fun. I got to riff, try some new ideas I wasn't planning on.
Good.
We made a fun game of me trying to pronounce. I had a list of names of towns in Louisiana.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
yeah.
That was
a lot of French names, I'm
yeah,
sure.
That was they got a kick out of that because I'm just like, blah, blah, you know, my cuckoo puffu, and they're telling me the real name. I'm like, that's exactly what I said.
So did you do your burn on French people joke while you were there?
When I joke about the car being French or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I had a joke about my car because it's got a French name, Corsica, how – you know, and I treated it like it was French, never washed it.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't think that would have been the best place to do it, too. They would have, because they have such a thick skin down there and such a sense of humor about stuff. Uh-huh. But when I do that joke in other towns, like, I don't know, Holland, Michigan, I did it, and they go, oh, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Is there a strong French population here in Holland, Michigan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Thought it was Dutch. But, yeah, I didn't do that. But yeah, naming towns was really funny because I would obviously butcher it and they would correct me. I'm going, that's exactly what I said. I don't know what the, you know. I was like, yeah, that's what I said. We got a kick out of that. That was fun. And then joking about the both places I tried this because King Cake is Louisiana. Do you know about King Cake?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They got a kick out of how I responded
it's
to that.
Fat Tuesday thing.
Yeah, it's a Fat Tuesday thing where I think what I said on stage was like, so what I, like, because I was talking about church stuff, and like even your food has church history, like the King Cake, and then, you know, I didn't know this until recently, until you guys told me this today. I was like, yeah, just so apparently it's based on the Bible where these three kings came down and found baby Jesus buried in a cake, just like the Bible.
All right, just like the Bible.
They got it. Yeah, that was fun. I've never wrote down, but I always had these thoughts. I'm like, man, this is what I wish I could do on stage sometimes. Mm-hmm. Thoughts that don't really have a punchline, but sound funny to you. But
To do that, you're going to have to require a bit of interaction with the audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it just depends. But like after the name thing, I remember going after one of the town name things, they corrected me and I'm like, you know, I like what I said better. Mm. And they laughed at that. And I'm like, you know what? Hey, guys, I started saying, that's some marriage advice for you. If you're ever in an argument, you're out of stuff to say, just go, I like what I said better, and leave.
What I said better.
There you go. And then another thought I had, again, to me, I thought it made sense. And they enjoyed it. I'm like, also, here's another thought. I was going, hey, husbands, again, if you're in a fight, you're losing, just dramatically go, hey, look, this is bigger than all of us. And just leave. You didn't say anything, but it sounded good. And
so that, you know, that,
and
that
those could, things, and they got a kick out of those little.
That could
odds.
Be the birth of a new routine for you.
Sure, I joked.
Like Jeff Foxworthy has the you might be redneck if stuff.
Like
these are mic drop statements.
Sure,
or something like that.
I said, like, after I was making those little riffs, I'm like, I don't have to be married, but I can be an armchair quarterback for the married couples in here. I can give you some tips and that. They just had fun with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, shows like this weekend, we're like, okay, you still can do this. And it took a toll. Like the whole series of events from February on have, you know, the low attendance, the getting the flu in between all of that, just going.
Wears you down.
Yeah, you're just going, all right, is this just getting worse? Do I need to read the room and go, hey, start looking at other jobs, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can wear out. It can make your heart really heavy. And you fight, but and your heart gets less heavy each day when you're fighting out of it. Human nature, we can fight out of these things. Mm-hmm. We talk a little bit about anxiety. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not a therapist, but I think we both agree. Yeah, there's situations where, yeah, medication helps people, mm-hmm. not knocking that. Mm-hmm. But I still think we have a fighting spirit. I think
the power of the human brain is just incredible.
The human brain looking for the positive, but mm-hmm. I think there's a fighting instinct inside of us to go, you know what, screw this. No, I'm not letting my brain go here. Mm-hmm. I think that's in there. I think the option to fight this and overcome it is mm-hmm. in there, and there's ways to do that. Yeah. And I'm just talking out of my butt on this, but I really think, like,
well,
we are fighters. We do overcome so much as humans.
You'll be hard to find someone who doesn't agree with the power of positive reinforcement.
Right, and I'm not knocking mental health. I know mental health is important, but mm-hmm. sometimes I'm like, has this become a crutch? Mm-hmm. Has it become like, once I'm here, I'm always here?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen too many people, like, get out of it. They just, I'm in therapy forever. Like,
yeah.
Every week, do you need it? Maybe some do. Yeah. I don't, I'm just asking questions. I sound like Jesse the Body Ventura right there. I'm just asking questions.
But you know, your body requires certain hormones and the balance of things to be right all
right,
the time.
Right, absolutely. I'm saying, I don't want to dismiss the progress of science and what we've learned. Yeah.
Panic disorders, anxiety disorders, everything like
those
that.
Exist. I'm not denying that those.
If you have one of those and medication can help you, then why not?
Sure. It's one of those things where like how long can you go without jumping to medication? Can you, you know, do we jump to it? Do we offer it
too quickly?
Quick?
Yes.
Especially in children. Like, I'm just like, boys just, you know, have more energy and are more distracted mm-hmm. at an early age. Like, mm-hmm. right?
If you're talking about ADHD specifically.
Yeah.
Do I think children are misdiagnosed ADHD? Sure. I'm no healthcare professional at all, but I couldn't tell you the signs between a kid who's ADHD and one who just has a short attention span.
Right. It's called being a person. Right. We're all different. Like, do you want us all to be the same? Yeah. Do you want us all to have the same behaviors, calm, subdued? Like, mm-hmm. you're going to have people with more energy than others at times. That's just, we're humans. That's real diversity to me is, like, people are diverse. There's not... Yeah. Someone that's exactly the same. You might have some identical tendencies, but you're not exact. You have twins. Mm-hmm. They're not the same.
No, not in any way. Yep.
Yeah. I think people alone are diverse. So you're going to have different behaviors. And then I think the most alarming situation, and I've told this story about the church camp that we got kicked out of, me and my comedian buddy.
Yeah.
He talked about vasectomies at the Church of Christ camp. Yeah. Yeah. Which that's on him. That's on him. It doesn't take much to offend Church of Christ, and he went ahead and... I don't get why they were mad. I'm like, you were at a church camp. It didn't matter what denomination you were at, dude. Anyway.
Who can relate to vasectomies here?
Am I right?
To Aruma.
Am I right? Not you guys. You guys are all here. Okay. Yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah. But anyway, where was it going with that? Oh, yeah, because before we went mm-hmm. on... They like, hey, we got to take a med break. There was enough kids on medication that they all had to take a med break before the comedy show. Mm. I'm like, wow. I wonder why. Like, it wasn't that way. Like when we were growing up, I knew a couple of kids that took like Ritalin, but they had to. Like, there were some like really like ADHD kids like when you had it, you really had it.
Well, funny you say that. I saw this article or video or something on the internet about how dementia has become more prevalent. I don't know if it's more diagnosed now than it was then, but he put a – now, I know correlation does not always mean causation. Have you heard that phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Just because two things are correlated doesn't mean one is the cause of the other. But he said, or he feels like back in the 70s when they started pushing cholesterol medication.
Yeah.
Is when Alzheimer's really started ramping up, because the brain is made up of a substance that is very similar to cholesterol.
Like, our body needs cholesterol.
Myelin, I think, is the name of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's the other thing. Like, I know in the 90s, commercials were all like, this will lower your cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Now you're hearing, again, YouTube, anyone can sound like an expert on YouTube, but there are doctors now that mm-hmm. are like, cholesterol is actually a good thing. And mm-hmm. like, and you bring that up and people think you're crazy and you're like, well, this guy, I think, as a doctor, he did say this. So mm-hmm. high fats, but like your brain running on high fat is right. actually a good thing. Like
yes.
when people are doing keto and carnivore, yeah. it's your body's going to burn something. It's either going to burn sugar or carbs, or it's going to burn fat.
You think about before the advent of the American Revolution, before mass production came around.
Yeah.
We would eat the animals on the ground
yep.
and the plants in the field.
Yep. And there's debates on the plants. Like, if it's bitter, I've heard that. If it's bitter going in, it's not a good sign. If it's, because plants by nature are going to be bitter.
Yeah.
Some vegetables by nature are going to be bitter. So
Brussels sprouts are a good example.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and salads, I mean, Gaffigan jokes about it, but like, how do you make a salad good? You put all the unhealthy crap
yeah.
on top of it to yeah. find the bacon. Like, mm-hmm. now bacon's good. And I'm good with that. Now bacon's mm. good for you. And I'm like, sign me up. Let's go.
Well, the nitrates in it probably aren't that good for you.
Could be. I don't know.
Everything is a balance.
Everything is a balance.
Much like the chemicals in your body are a balance, the food you put in your body should be balanced.
Absolutely. And I love the unhealthy stuff.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
I love sugar.
I had two
donuts today from Donut Country. Which every town is going to say their local donut place
yeah.
is the best place. But I have had out-of-towners go to Donut Country and go, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
So this stuff's yeah. good.
What's your favorite there?
You know, you can be just fine with the basic glazed donut there. And I...
Classic glazed?
You know, you're doing good when your most basic generic donut is dominant.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, everything they have there is good. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the blueberry cake donut. That's
yeah.
really good.
Cake donuts are phenomenal. Oh, they have a red velvet cake donut. Had that today. Didn't even... I felt kind of guilty because I was trying to... Because Monday is usually when I start back up. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, wait till 3 p.m. to eat my meat. Mm-hmm. And so... Or my Quest chips. Quest chips, legit. Have you had those?
Quest chips?
Yep. They're protein-based chips. Mm-mm. I usually don't like substitute versions of like a protein-based... Like the protein bars. Gross. Good word. And they have just as much
yeah.
sugar as like a Snickers
yeah.
bar
yeah.
in them anyway. But Quest chips are like Doritos, and they're really good. Like
okay.
they have the flavors are fantastic. If the numbers are correct on the back of the nutrition label, it's pretty solid. There's not really any sugar, no carbs. Mm-hmm. It's like 16 grams of protein in the bag, and it's legit. I've got to mix it up too, because I have been eating
yeah.
keto, or been trying mostly during the week. Mm-hmm. And then you can get tired of bacon and eggs. If I never eat another egg, I'll be happy. I need to mix
yeah.
it up with the eggs. The eggs are, I loved them at first. Now I'm like,
do you eat them the same way all the time?
No, I would mix it up. I would go scrambled.
Yeah.
Then hold on, Lee. Let's go sunny side up for a little bit.
Yep.
Oh, let's make an omelet. Let's stuff some stuff in it.
Yep.
After a while, you're like, it's still an egg. It's still an egg. I'm getting sick of this. I know it's good for you. Mm-hmm. I love it. Like, I was loving eggs. But
you like avocados?
We
talked about this before.
I mean,
you don't like avocados.
They're not like my favorite. I don't dislike them, but I'm not obsessed over the avocado like the mm-hmm. rest of the world is. Like,
yeah.
I'm okay without that.
I love them, man. I can just
people do. Yeah.
Like
again, they're good. I mean, guacamole yeah. is great, mm. but I'm okay without it. I don't have to have it in my life.
Yeah.
I like sour cream. That's usually in my daily diet.
High protein.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't know if other people do this. Tell me if you do. Please email me. I'd like to know someone's listening, so just email. Like, I like taking sour cream.
Does the podcast need an email address, Lee?
I mean, there is an email
Hardhead
address.
Hardhead or lee@hardheads.com?
Possibly. Once I learn how to do that. I mean, right now I think I just have leehardencomedy@gmail.com on the episode
yeah.
description, so I think that's in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if we can learn how to do that, do a .com one, because I don't know how to do the .com.
So you have a website, right?
Yeah, leehardencomedy.com.
So surely that domain like agreement has an email header. So your domain is leehardencomedy.com. So it could be Lee.
Yeah.
At leehardencomedy.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how to do that, I'll be honest. Okay. I learned what I could to get the website looking like a website.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, looking clean and simple. When we get into all that crap right there,
yeah.
At leehardencomedy.com. I know there's a way to do it. I don't know.
Might be worth your time.
Things can be done. Things can be done on that. But
yeah.
No, the bacon and sour cream. I like taking sour cream as a side, bacon, dip in there. I'm sure people are like, oh, that's a heart attack. It's not. It's high fat. So shut up. It's good stuff.
Question about bacon. A question that is very polarizing.
Yes.
When it comes to bacon. Crispy or chewy?
Well, I've got a short pan that I use, so I get crispy enough in the middle because I want the ends to have – because I like that gristle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like the little bit of chew that's on the end of it? Yeah,
yeah, I don't like it too crispy because after it tastes like a bookmark after if it's too crispy. I don't understand the obsession with too crispy. You need there's a middle. There's a middle ground there. So
I'm very close to too crispy. My wife loves her bacon to be cooked to the point just below carbon.
Okay, I can throw someone
30 more seconds on the pan and it will disintegrate.
I can throw like Thanos snapped my bacon.
Right, exactly.
I want this stiff enough to throw it at somebody and do some damage.
So this is stressful for me when I cook the bacon. I'm like, oh, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, I've had to learn that too. Where I've like, yeah, like all right, burner's got to be too high. It's got to be high enough to like. I want to know it's cooked and then take it back down. And I'm learning. I didn't do a lot of this stuff early on in my adulthood. But now that I'm like, all right, I'm going to save money by eating all this at home. And I'm going to make my own food or I'm going to grill it.
When I make breakfast, I have a Blackstone. I love my Blackstone.
Okay.
And the favorite thing the kids like is pancakes.
Yep.
I make pancakes and bacon on the Blackstone.
Cool.
Bacon on the Blackstone is phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Okay. Yeah. Not tried that, so
yeah,
that's sweet. I like that.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Pinewood Derby season. Speaking of your kids, is that over?
Pinewood Derby season? Yeah, that's gone. The scout year is coming to a close as well.
So do you just take the summer off?
So graduation will be in May.
Okay.
Where the kids who have been a part of it since August will receive their patch for the rank that they've earned. And then we don't have weekly meetings again until the fall.
But, oh, man, they don't do summer trips? I feel
the pack as a whole will do an event about once a month, and they'll go on a summer camping trip.
Okay.
I don't like camping in the summer just because
– I don't like camping ever.
It's hot, and I can't sleep. Yeah. Like, I can't sleep well anyway when I'm camping.
Yeah,
so.
Look, all you got to do is listen to Jim Gaffigan's bit about camping, and you're like –
you want to blow a couple of vacation days?
it's a tradition in our family. It was a tradition in everybody's family before we invented the house.
Yeah.
If it's so great outside, why are the bugs trying to get inside my house?
But you know, I haven't told our Cubmaster this yet, but I may not be returning.
Oh no!
In the fall.
Okay.
My youngest, who's currently going to get his bear patch in May, is questioning whether or not he wants to do it again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not going to force him to do it if he doesn't want to.
Right.
But if he doesn't do it, what?
Why am I here? Yeah.
That's a terrible thing to say.
No.
I love the kids that I've
been a
den leader for.
Sure.
I wouldn't want to disservice them in any way.
Right.
But.
Sounds like they like Crabtree too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Mr. Ricky.
Okay, Mr. Ricky. All right. I like that. Yeah. So these kids love you. You know, that's something you should definitely ask yourself. Like, is there somebody that you know, that needs me here?
Mm.
Maybe there's a kid who,
you
know, doesn't have a dad.
There's 15 to 20 of them, so I won't go through each of them.
Oh, you don't know, absolutely. But there might be some, like, even if you have a dad, here's what, like, I think I've told this to a kid one time. You know, there's not a perfect dad. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn things from other dads that you didn't learn from your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your dad's going to be awesome for you. Should be. But they're going to miss stuff. Like, you know. Okay, well, you didn't see your dad opening the door for your mom. But, okay, you saw that guy's dad doing that for his wife. You're like, you see examples of, mm-hmm. of good, of how to be a man.
Gallantry.
What that?
Gallantry.
Whew, educated. You were educated. Man, I learned so much, and I have so much to Google after we do this podcast. Like, that's a word I've not heard before. But you see examples of like of what a man should be, not just mm-hmm. from your dad, but from other men around. You should, at least. Mm-hmm. So.
And people say that chivalry is dead. I disagree with them.
Yeah, it's one of those things where people do. You say something loud and long enough, people mm-hmm. start believing it.
Yeah,
you know, like the moon landing being fake. Actually, not enough people are saying it's fake. Finally, someone on Rogan has been talking about that. So I'm like,
oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Again, that was a theory that I watched it on Fox when I was a kid. There was someone did a little documentary, and I'm going, you're right. Maybe we didn't go. And then all you just bring it up casually to someone, and they would lose their mind. Yeah, they would get so uptight. I'm like,
what, are you not American?
Yeah. I was like, chill. Yep. I'm just saying that no one else went, and you can't see stars in the photo, and there's the Van Allen radiation belt that we can't go through. But, you know, and they just left a bunch of real expensive equipment up there, and you could send these rockets up there with your phone now. The computers that they used back then were not as advanced as what we have in our pockets, too. So
all analog.
Yeah, all analog. And people are like, well, what about the people that everybody had to know? No, I don't think everybody had to know. I bet there's people in that control booth that, because you could be in inner space. I bet there's people in the booth, in those control centers, thinking they were in space. I don't know. I'm talking out of my butt again. But I'm just thinking, I don't think everybody had to know.
So the point is, even if I don't go back in the fall.
Oh, right. Scout stuff. Sorry. No, okay. Tinfoil hat has been removed.
There will be someone to take charge, and the kids won't be without it. Then,
yeah, like James Bond. You die, someone takes your place. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're going to say they never.
008 will come.
They're going to say they never knew you.
Right. Right.
Which, speaking of James Bond, the movie The Rock was on this weekend in my hotel room. Love that movie. Michael Bay gets so much crap, and I'm like, he's made some amazing stuff.
The Alcatraz?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Sean Connery. And did you ever notice how they made the connection with Sean Connery possibly being James Bond? They made the connection in the movie pretty often.
British Special Forces?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that?
Yeah.
A former British Special Forces.
Yeah. So they're kind of like saying he was James Bond without saying he was because they said they caught him, and then they said they – I had no record of who this guy was, which is what they said in 007.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a fun.
That's
fun
a great night. Movie. Why does Michael Bay get so much?
I like it. I
mean, yeah. Again, there's some stuff where I'm like, all right, I'm not going to watch this, but Bad Boys was great. I love Con Air. I don't care what people say. That was a fun movie. I don't care if Nicolas Cage can't.
So it sounds like you're just a Nicolas Cage fan.
He has some good stuff. That's some good stuff.
Don't watch Knowing. That's a terrible movie.
Knowing, what's that one about?
Knowing events that are about to happen.
Oh, okay.
It's not
self-explanatory. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
No, he's because he did a lot of indie movies recently, and those were pretty good.
Gotcha. I take pleasure in gutting you, boy. That's a Rock quote. Sorry.
It is a Rock quote, and Dave Chappelle was in that movie. Yeah, that was a fun movie. Like. What's wrong with having a mindless action film with a semi-decent plot? Hmm. You know, what's wrong with that?
I mean, Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Love Mel Brooks. Absolutely. But yeah, I think when the Transformer movies started hitting is when I kind of went off. I was like, first one was all right, and then I couldn't watch the rest of them. I'm like, this is a little. Well, it's still a little overkill for me. But if other people like it, cool, no shame. But Michael
Bay. The
first
one was really good.
It was a fun movie.
I think they drained that for all it was worth.
Yeah,
that,
but
that
even like now, CGI is getting. Like, Planet of the Apes, there's a new one out, and I'm so mad about it because I'm like, this
Planet
is all.
Planet of the Apes.
The Regan joke.
Right.
Oh.
It's a planet.
Oh, yeah. He's like, why don't they do this? Like, we're talking about the book. Like, they always say the title of the book on top of the page. Right. Oh, I didn't know what I was reading. It's not like they do that in the movies where you're going, oh, Planet of the Apes. I was wondering, with all these apes, what is going on? Oh, gosh. Sorry, but
I derailed that.
No, you're good.
Train of thought.
Regan, shout out. He's the best to do it. But, yeah, the new Planet of the Apes, I think they did this with the other Apes movies recently, but so much CGI. There's not one person in an ape costume. I'm like,
right,
man, it looks like a cartoon now.
That's Chris Nolan's claim to fame, because he did Oppenheimer nearly without any
CGI. That movie's still going on. Still going on. Like, the Irishman is a little bit further along, but those movies are both still being made watching them right now in real time.
Yeah.
No, Oppenheimer was cool, but I'm just like, whew. No one's cool, but at the same time, I'm like, man, just make a freaking movie. I can't. Like, and it's so realistic. You're like, some of the audio, you're like, I can't hear what they're saying. Yeah, but that's real life. Mm. Cool, but we're watching a movie, which isn't real life. Right. So let's calm down. The Tenet movie that he made.
That's it.
Sorry, Christopher Nolan, but that movie is kind of up its own butt. It really is. It's like, hey, I'm Christopher Nolan. I'm smarter than all of you. That's how the movie felt watching the whole time, because you're watching things go forward and then reverse. Time's inverted. Mm-hmm. And he time travels again over here. He shoots a bullet, but you shoot the bullet and then the bullet comes like out reverse or something like that. And then there's so much natural noise in the movie, machine noise, where two people are having a dialogue like it would sound in real life. Mm-hmm. You're just going, yeah, but this is a movie. We need to kind of hear what they're saying.
Right.
But okay. Again, visually looks fantastic. So
Lotso is the name of the bear in Toy Story 4.
Oh, was that the carnival bear?
No, this guy.
Oh, no, that's Lotso. Not 4.
Sure it is, isn't it?
That's his prospector. No, that's the... Which one is that one? Shoot. The pink bear.
That's Lotso.
Lotso
hugging bear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He is. He's the one trying.
Prospector is the guy with the hat.
That looks like a prospector. Yeah. Not the bear.
Looks like a prospector.
Yeah. You nailed it, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. No, he's in.
Toy Story 4. Lotso.
Wow. Is that what it says? Toy Story 4. Right there. Oh my God.
Toy Story 4. Lotso.
Oh. Because Toy Story 4, is it the carnival? It's got that baby doll girl that's trying to get her voice box changed.
I don't remember a lot about Toy Story 3 or 4, to be honest.
Okay. All right. I got to watch all these again. Okay.
Do it.
All right. Because 4 had the car. I don't remember. I thought Lotso was in 3, but could be wrong.
Speaking of movies.
Yo.
Have you seen any of the, it's a trilogy, with Bruce Willis, James McAvoy, and Samuel Jackson? So,
is recent? Because Bruce Willis
one
is
of them. So Glass is the most recent
one. Oh, yes.
My wife and I just watched Glass, not knowing
it was the trilogy to Unbreakable.
It was the third,
and
right?
Split.
Unbreakable and Split.
Phenomenal.
James McAvoy. Hats off to that man,
dude. For got jacked.
Yeah,
got so jacked.
I mean,
that movie.
Not just for his physical appearance, just the. The multi-personality disorder.
Oh yeah,
he has.
Yeah, and you saw more of it in Split.
I haven't seen Split yet. We've
oh, you skipped Split.
Well, we started with Glass.
Yeah, so you hadn't seen Unbreakable.
We went back and watched Unbreakable.
Okay,
and now we plan on watching Split.
Glass is good. It was cool how it ended, but when I watched it, I'm like, oh man, Shyamalan, you just did another dumb ending.
Yeah,
dang it. But then I went, oh, I see where they're going.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool. All right, I like this. I like how they ended it. Yeah, those are cool. Shyamalan gets a lot of crap, but Unbreakable is phenomenal. Split is really good. Glass
Signs
was
the first movie I saw that he did.
Signs was good. Then, The Happening. I tried defending that movie when that came out because I could tell. I knew Shyamalan was a big Hitchcock fan.
I don't think I've seen The Happening.
The Happening's Mark Wahlberg. And people are randomly killing themselves. And Mark Wahlberg's like, what? What is this? People are killing themselves? What's going on over here?
That was a very bad impression of Mark Wahlberg.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Anyway.
He's always asking questions like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
Marky Mark.
Yep. But he's in it. He's in it. And I was trying to defend it because I'm like, hey, Shyamalan's a big Hitchcock fan. And this kind of has some Hitchcock vibes to it. But after a while, I went, yeah, you're right. This one's kind of bad. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Happening was all right. Lady in the Water, that was another one. So
Shyamalan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He made one of there was a movie he made very early on. It was before Signs. It wasn't sci-fi at all. It was about a kid in a Catholic church who I think his grandfather died, and he started doubting his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad from Wonder Years is in the movie. The guy that played Kevin's dad.
Yeah.
The grumpy
guy. I can envision him in my mind.
Yeah.
But
why aren't there men like that in movies anymore? Like, everyone's tall, dark, and handsome. There's no Gene Hackman's. There's no... I feel like, out of respect, I should look up the dad from Wonder Years' name. I feel like when we were growing up watching movies, there were some rough-looking dudes that could act. They didn't have to be handsome. I feel like everybody's got to be really good-looking now.
Yeah, well, that's Hollywood for you.
Sure, but well, it was that way back then, but we need an average-looking, gruff guy in this. I don't see those as much as I used to. Like, yeah, what's going
like
on with
nuclear family dad.
Right. But yeah, it's that Red Foreman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess, because, I mean, Nick Offerman's close to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. His name's Dan Lauria. That's the dad from Wonder Years. Had to look that up out of respect because he was a good, grumpy old dad. But we just don't have that much anymore in movies. We don't have the old-looking, rough-looking dudes. Mm. Why not? Are they not? I don't know. Because I feel like you had to really be a good actor back then, too. Mm. I've heard Michael J. Fox talk about that recently. Like, you had to have, in the 80s and stuff, you actually had to have talent. Is, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's mostly if you look good, you can be in that movie or something like that. So, speaking of, still waiting on Hallmark, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Still waiting. Really? Read for it. And that's been the other struggle with the shows and whatnot. There's been a lot of waiting. I'll say that. A lot of waiting of, you have meetings, you have talks, the possible opportunities, you know, working with this guy, all these things. You have the initial conversation and then waiting to hear back.
Mm.
Some other possible opportunities.
Isn't there a song talking about the waiting is the hardest part?
Tom Petty, it's called Waiting. Right. Yeah. Are you messing with me?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure, because I don't know what you've heard, not heard musically, so you listen to scores of films like a sophisticated human. I like loud guitars. And
hey, I heard a term today.
Uh-huh.
What do you call someone who likes multiple genres of music? Polyjamorous.
Oh, gross. I'm now no longer listening to multiple musics now. That I'm not listening. I'm... Oh, that makes you cringe a little bit.
Yeah, it's a dad joke.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a dad, so
yeah. You're
going to tell him. That's awesome.
Yep.
You're going to tell dads. Like, are going to tell moms. Like, don't tell jokes.
What does Jeff Bezos do before he goes to bed at night?
No idea.
Puts on his pajamas.
Is that yours?
No.
Oh, not. Okay.
I read it.
In a book.
In a book.
Oh, gosh. Dodgeball. You know, all right. This might end up being a movie podcast. Shoot, we've been...
Dodge, duck, dip, dive.
We've been talking about
dodge.
Movies most of this thing. So Ben Stiller, people don't really... Like, did you ever watch that MTV show Fanatic?
Mm-mm.
All right. Did you know of it?
No.
Okay.
You were probably, I didn't have MTV growing up.
You're probably reading or listening to classical music or...
Playing Mortal Kombat.
There you go. I was ripping dudes' heads off.
Right.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
So Fanatic, like, they would pick somebody. People would submit a video. Hey, I'm the biggest fan of this guy. Please let me meet my hero.
Okay.
That was the premise of the show. They picked people that submitted on the weirdest reasons. Someone got to meet Ben Stiller. This was like mid-late 90s. Ben Stiller wasn't the name he became later. He was acting and stuff. His dad, Jerry Stiller. Jerry Stiller, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Jerry Stiller got to be himself in both Seinfeld and King of Queens.
Yeah.
Got to be the same guy in both of them. and it was good, both shows. Anyway, this guy wanted to meet Ben Stiller. Not because of the other movies he was in. Not because of Heavyweights, where he was the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Something About Mary, I think. May have just came out or about to come out. Mm. He wanted to meet Ben Stiller just for the scenes he did in Happy Gilmore. just
for the nurse.
Yeah. He like, I don't know how the rest of the movie is. I just watched and rewound the scenes from Ben Stiller and I didn't even know his name at first.
I had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, you will go to sleep. Or I will put you to sleep. Check out the name tag. You're in my world, Grandma. That guy.
Gosh.
And I think even Ben on the show was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun movie, I guess. I've done other stuff. And they picked another guy who wanted to meet Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
Not because of basketball. They found the one guy that was a fan of Shaquille O'Neal's rap music because he put out a couple of rap albums.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's like, the guy was, you know, he was hanging out with Shaq.
He plays basketball too?
Yeah. That was kind of what
it was. What a double threat.
It was kind of like that. He was like, yeah, if the Laker game's on, I might watch it. I'm like, that's what he's known for. You picked, like, like, the next level would be, oh, I'm a big fan of Shaq. I didn't know he was a real guy. I just thought he was from that video game, Shaq Fu. Do you know Shaq Fu?
Shaq Fu. I've heard of it. I've not
played
Shaq it.
Shaq had his own Mortal Kombat, and it was Shaq Fu.
Yeah.
It was great. But, yeah, they picked people for the weirdest reasons to be fans of that person. Yeah. Hmm. Shaq's rap album and Ben Stiller's cameo in Happy Gilmore.
There's a Saturday Night Live skit that is my favorite Ben Stiller clip.
Yeah.
V-necks. Have you seen V-necks?
No, but...
Oh, it's so funny.
Okay. We'll
watch it.
For the sake of referencing and helping people out, we'll put a link to it in the show description for that one person that might be listening. And
So this guy is in a boutique trying on shirts, and he tries on a V-neck. And he comes out, and his wife said, "That looks really good on you." Well, Ben Stiller's over on the side listening.
Yeah.
So he looks around and goes into the dressing room and comes out with his own V-neck that's like down to here, like down to his chest.
Yep.
And it escalates from there. Let's just put it that
way. All right. Well, yeah, Ben's a spectacular talent. He was on Saturday Night Live. He was a cast member at one point in a very weird time. Mm. Think of this timeline. You got Robert Downey Jr. was a cast member. Mm. Michael Hall. Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
16 Candles. Oh, wait, is that his name? Anthony Michael Hall? The guy that was Johnny B. Goode, he was in Breakfast Club. I think Anthony Michael Hall. But he was in it. Who else was it? Just those three alone. Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr. Like, it was like these, like, well-known actors.
That was after I'd...
Lorne Michaels wasn't involved at Saturday that time. Yeah. So, in fact, I found out recently from Dave Landau that Eddie Murphy was not supposed to be in Saturday Night Live. Hmm. Lorne didn't initially have him in there. So, oh my gosh. What's his name? Anthony Michael Hall, who was also the news anchor in Dark Knight. Oh gosh, to the internet.
Pulling out
this
phones.
Now, this podcast is now called Looking at Our Phones, and hoping you know that we're looking at our phones via audio. But no, he played the news anchor, and
I gotta put a name with a face.
Yep. But he became he was really good in that. And there was a theory, I wish it would have came into fruition for the next movie, because there is a possibility of adding the Riddler. And the Riddler could have came from Anthony Michael Hall, because in that movie he was kidnapped by the Joker and traumatized, and that could have segued into him being the Riddler, and he would have been
amazing.
That's
the same kid that was in Breakfast Club?
Yeah, he was also the bad guy in Edward Scissorhands, the jerk boyfriend.
The teenager?
Yeah. The dude who got Johnny Depp stabbed him in the movie.
I love that. He's really been in showbiz for a long time.
If you think about... All right, well, maybe this should just... I know I like too many things, but this is a movie wormhole, and who cares?
Yeah.
How do you put that concept on paper and then try to present it?
Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah, you want to, like, hey, I want Winona Ryder in this movie. I want
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I want Johnny Depp. Edward Scissorhands. He has
scissors for hands.
Scissors for hands.
How'd that get greenlit? Is the question.
Exactly. On paper, how do you get that? On the film, like that, on paper, you're going, this is the dumbest, really,
Well, it's a Tim Burton film, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it fits the,
He had enough clout. Maybe he had a deal from back then. Oh, you're going to make me do Batman? Fine, I'm doing Edward Scissorhands. That's part of the deal. Yeah. Kind of like what Bill Murray did with Razor's Edge, which was an artistic movie. He wanted to agree to do Ghostbusters. He's like, I want to do a remake of this old movie called Razor's Edge. It wasn't a comedy at all. Very, introspective and all this stuff. Dramatic. But yeah, Edward Scissorhands. How do you get that? That's a sign of a good, a visionary to this weird idea. I'm going to have it make sense to someone before we even see it on screen because they don't know what they're making. It takes so much work to put in to make a movie, whether good or bad.
I always used to make the joke that Edward Scissorhands is my favorite Johnny Depp movie because he doesn't talk in it.
Not that much. That's fair. But, yeah, all these movies that came out that you're like, how'd they get the screen lit? Like, Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah. You ever see that?
I hear it's really good, though.
Phenomenal. You watch it going, this is so cool. It's so neat. But you're like, when you look back, you're like, how do you present this to somebody? This world doesn't exist yet.
Well, I mean, there are lots of movies out there that you're like.
So many of the 80s movies, even 90s, were experimental. Back to the Future was an experiment. Ghostbusters, all these. There's a Netflix show about how these movies were made.
The movies that made us?
Yeah. Yeah. I like what I said better.
Right. I said what I said.
The movies that made us. But you hear these backstories, you're going, oh, this could have not happened at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they took chances back then. Now it's like, it's got to be a guaranteed success before it even comes out.
Yeah, I watched the one on Forrest Gump. Like, originally,
was Bill Murray supposed to be Forrest Gump? I heard that.
Somebody else was supposed to be Forrest Gump, yes. Okay. I think Bill Murray may have been their first choice.
Wow. You know how, they probably talked about this on the show, you know how Forrest Gump got the voice?
They likely talked about it, but I don't remember.
It was from the kid that auditioned to be the kid Forrest Gump.
Okay.
They kept talking to him and just hearing how he talked. They thought it was just so unique. And
really?
That's where Tom Hanks went, boom, I'm going to sound.
I may not be a smart man.
Yeah.
What love is.
I've seen that meme where it's like when you go meet your son's kindergarten teacher or first grade teacher for the first time, and it's that scene from Forrest Gump. Is he smart? Is he like me?
Is he? He's got his.
Is he like me? And then there's people that crap on Forrest Gump now. That's just like, oh, it's so forced and artsy. I'm like, yeah, it was a good movie. So, man, we went from some serious life stuff to like. Movie wormholes. We went IMDb pretty quickly on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking about Louisiana earlier. It made me think of True Detective. Have you seen any of True Detective?
I was obsessed with season one.
Yeah.
I bailed out season two.
Really?
It was awful.
Okay.
Did you watch season two?
We are wrapping up season one.
Okay.
Soon.
You and Eric, she's watching that too?
Yeah.
How's she? It's pretty gruesome.
She enjoys true crime.
Yeah. But this one's gruesome. Like, this one's, you know.
Well, I mean,
she's right with it.
It's a thriller. There's no like scary jump scares.
But just some like twisted stuff.
Twisted, she's fine with.
Yeah.
The gore, she doesn't like.
Yeah. Season one's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with season one. Season two, just skip it. It was rushed. So there's a lot of things that you think that they should do and they don't do. And it's just weird. To skip it. Season three, love it. It's not season one, but it's still great.
Okay.
I heard season four is like iffy.
Well, I mean, this is we haven't done any research into the show except for just watching it. So, do the detectives change season to season? Is it still?
It's a different cast.
Okay.
But there's like a connection. They reference them.
Okay.
And season two, again, skip it. You'll be fine. You will live life.
Well, we still need to make that judgment for ourselves if it's worth watching or not.
No, I'm going
to
tell you what to do on that one. You will hate it.
I
like what I said better. Do you really like season one? Okay, if you really like season one, you're going to hate season two. I will.
Well, we also like watching the dynamic between Woody Harrelson and
that part's good. You're not going to have that in season two. Season two, it's Vince Vaughn's in it. And you're like, well, this should be good.
Yeah.
No, it's not good. It's not good. I mean, I build out in the middle of it. You think with the cast, you're like, oh, this will be pretty cool. But, again, you know, you p- pull, you know, go ahead and pull your own rope over the ledge, and you'll, you know, see how you'll hang yourself at the end. Okay. So, you know, but again, go into it. I've warned people.
Spoiling it for me.
Yeah.
Do we find out the true killer at the end of season one?
Yeah. Yep.
Of
yeah, they wrap it up.
Of the original,
the Yellow King.
Yeah, the Yellow King.
Oh, that's creepy. Yeah, yo, that stuff's they really get in your head with that stuff. Yeah. That's good. It's good. Like the writing on that's just brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a resolve to it. So, yeah, you won't need season
I like
two.
Does the theme song change? I like the theme song.
It changes
one.
Each season.
Okay,
but yeah, that first season's gold. And opening credits are just neat.
Yes.
Yeah, really
neat. The Handsome Family is the group.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Did that song.
Very western-y. And yeah. Love it. Yeah. So good. Or I guess maybe below the Texas border type sound. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That western Texas type deal. Yeah, so season one, outstanding. Mm. Love it to death. And then season three. You'd be good with those two if you just watch those two. But I would just rather you get season three because it's really good compared to season two. It's just they do a lot of things in the episodes where you're like, oh, they killed that guy. And then, oh, no, they didn't. He shot him with rubber bullets. I'm like, this isn't. Mm-hmm. Suspense is about like taking away things that you hoped for. Like you like Walking Dead, not the show, graphic novel. Did you ever read the graphic novel? Mm-hmm. It's gruesome. It should have been an HBO series, not AMC. I say that, but it did really well. It's a staple. People love it.
I couldn't get through the first episode of the Walking Dead television series.
See, if you read the graphic novel, different story. It's in black and white. It's eerie.
Really?
And the writer doesn't pull punches. It's kind of like Tarantino, where it's like, oh, you like this character quite a bit? Oh, cool. Now he's dead. Next page. He's very much like, hey, I'm making this like very real life-like. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to survive. The hero is not always going to survive here, so something's going to happen. And yeah, I own a lot of the volumes from that graphic novel, and I don't collect a lot of comics, but that one I was really into. And then I found out they were making a show. I'm like, this is going to be great. The show was okay for me, but again, I say that, but it took off. It's doing fine. It's got its own casino machine. It's got its own slot machine at casinos. It's franchised out. The toys, the merchandise. It did really well, so my opinion means nothing in the grand scheme of things. I just, I loved that graphic novel so much, and then it's not supposed to be like the graphic novel, but they just took turns where I'm like, that's who you cast for this role? I was just bummed at who they picked for certain parts in the show. I'm like, yeah, this guy was cool in the comic book. You made him lame on the show. And
Yeah.
It's not a fan of that part, but some people got – I was trying to keep up with Walking Dead as much as I could, but it hit a point where I'm like, man, I can't do this anymore. I like fiction. This does – you know, it's just – I understand we got to suspend disbelief, but there gets a point where the storytelling goes, yeah, I'm not hooked anymore. I'm just not engaged. Yeah. Ricky's leaving the show. Okay, it was like you're about to get up and leave. Yeah. I was like, oh gosh,
we probably need to wrap this up.
Think we need to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, it's because it's you know, let's see. Don't know where to go from here. Got any questions, Ricky? Got any questions?
No.
No. Any thoughts? Anything you're looking forward to? Well, I know your life is work, husband, dad, but are there any things that are going to be personally satisfying for you between this week and the next? TV shows, gardening, cooking.
We'll probably start the garden.
Okay.
Soon.
All right.
Yeah. I finished tilling up over the weekend.
Yeah. It is now an NPR podcast we were talking about.
Right.
Gardening or whispering.
I'm looking over my notes here.
Okay. Gotcha. So between this week and next, the gardening is going to start?
Yeah, we usually start around the first week in May.
Okay. This is you and Erica thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about you? Is there a thing that you're like, oh, this is for me. I like this. Is there one of those things between this week and next? Like, dad's got to have your alone time too.
Get better sleep.
Okay. We need sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's definitely on my to-do list.
All right, that's priority. We got to get some sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no TV shows or anything like that, that just you watch or... Do you have drums at the house or just the church?
Just here.
If you had drums at your house, would you play them?
Sure.
Okay. Need to get some
drums. I don't have space to put them.
Oh, man. Okay.
I got three kids.
Well, get around one of your kids. Have them all three get in one room. And that's your space. Be like, I need a beat laboratory.
Yeah,
that's your beat. You can go Step Brothers on it.
Well,
my drum set.
We did get Thomas a toy drum set.
Okay,
a couple years ago.
Gotcha.
That he doesn't play, which All is right. disappointing.
You should take it over. yeah. You need that thing to look forward to. As you know, hey, I got all these responsibilities which are fulfilling, but that one thing.
Yeah.
That's for Ricky and Ricky only. Or Crabtree only.
Yeah.
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 I encourage you to find that thing if you have time.
Well,
outside of sleep.
I like to hunt.
You're a hunter?
And
sweet.
And the fall, I go deer hunting.
Okay.
So,
well, we got some time before the fall. Right. We're talking about between now and next week, Ricky. So, we're going to find something.
Right. Well, I could turkey hunt, but I just don't.
Okay. Never hunted, so that's awesome you do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that going on.
Well, I like to do pretty much anything outdoors.
Okay.
As long as I can breathe outside.
Right.
It's not.
And now it's been a challenge lately.
Middle of August is approaching.
Brutal. But we got some time between now and August. Mm. So, all right.
We'll figure it out.
I'll throw some things your way. So I might send you a new metal band to listen to freak you out. Oh, dude. In fact, I'm going to hang on.
Actually, I turned on Godsmack Radio on Spotify.
Okay. Today. That's definitely metal, but I'm talking like, you know. You know, if you weren't gonna go to heaven after you die, this might be what you listen to. Mm. So just hold on.
Where's the key? What key is that in?
That's probably the guitars are probably tuned down to an F or something like that. But that someone sent me that, and my buddy Mark, who's the drummer for Cool Hand Luke, he sent me that, and I'm like, I should not like this, but I really like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. The older I get, I guess that's what I'm looking forward to, digging into some older, but more music I didn't know existed. The older I get, I'm really liking music with loud guitars and just that energy. And I like shocking people. Like if I get in a car with someone who I know doesn't listen to that, I'm like, boom, I blare it just to get a reaction out of them. And here's what I love about this, actually. That music right there, if I'm pulling up to a parking lot, blaring. I just want to see people's. Or if I'm coming home around the same time that the elementary school by my house is letting out, just cranking. And this band is called Prisoner. So
okay,
yeah, but yeah, just that loud. Like, what is he listening to? Mm. I just want to see how people react. It's fun. Pockets of joy. That's what I call them. There's these moments in life. I call them pockets of joy.
Pockets of joy. Well,
yeah, like when someone at an old job. I took someone's job. They quit. I took the position. This guy named Jamal. I was like, hey, Jamal. He goes, hey, what's up, Evan? And I went, not much. That was a pocket of joy. I let him think my name was Evan for months.
Yeah.
And I was going to keep it going until my last day on the job there, years down the road.
Oh,
and
then wow.
My boss had to correct him. No, that's Lee. Like, oh, man, I've been calling him Evan the whole time. I'm like, Steven, you ruined this. I was going to be Evan. In case someone got in trouble, I could be like, that was Evan.
Right.
Not that I was a bad employee, but if I had to pull that card, I could be like, that was heaven, guys. That's what I call pockets of joy. Those little fun moments that are just for you that aren't harming anybody. So, yeah. All right, Crabtree, till next week.
Hopefully till next week.
Till next week. All right, guys. If you're listening, if you're still listening at this point, thanks. We don't know what we're doing yet, but we're having fun with it. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next week.